Hello, and a very warm welcome to all our listeners. This is one in a series of podcasts entitled Making Sense of SenseMaker. SenseMaker is a unique, visual, and versatile approach for listening to and understanding the views of individuals that CRS is seeking to support. SenseMaker is a particularly valuable addition to our Monitoring, Evaluation, Accountability, and Learning, or MEAL, toolkit, helping us to understand the complexity of our work. That is, in settings where adaptive management is needed to achieve project objectives, given the inevitable uncertainty of participants' reactions to project interventions and changes in context. I'd like to mention too that CRS has been a major contributor to a guide entitled The Learning Power of Listening, Practical Guidance for Using SenseMaker. These podcasts are brought to you by the CRS MEAL team, ably supported by colleagues in our country programs who have first-hand knowledge of using SenseMaker. We believe a good way to encourage others to consider using SenseMaker in their work is hearing from folk about their real-world personal experiences and reflections. In this podcast, I have the pleasure to be talking with James Quashi, the Chief of Party for Budi Kadidi, the USAID-funded Development Food Security Activities Program in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, about his experiences with using SenseMaker. Welcome, James. It's wonderful and an honour to have you with us for this podcast. Thank you for being so willing to share your experiences.
I'm happy to be here.
James, I think it'd be great if we could start with some background information that provides a helpful setting and context for our conversation. So would you provide us with a brief overview of the project, the purpose of the SenseMaker study, and why SenseMaker was chosen?
My name is James Quashi, Chief of Party of the BHA USAID-funded Budi Kadidi project in the Democratic Republic of Congo, specifically in Kasai Oriental. This project is a development activity with focus on improving governance, nutrition, health, water and sanitation, as well as agriculture and livelihoods in the Kasais. One thing that is very particular about this project is that at the beginning of the project, there is a refinement process that we go into our community and validate our theory of change before the project is implemented. So several studies were scheduled to be conducted, including our understanding, a deeper understanding of shocks, stresses, and overall resilience in the targeted communities. We looked at several options that could help us understand resilience, and we chose SenseMaker because it is a complexity-aware method that also recognizes personal narratives that enables us to contextualize information or knowledge that we receive, bearing in our mind that our goal is to be able to redesign or design a project that meets the needs of our targeted population. And so the ability to use personal narratives, our ability to identify key outliers, people that are outside the norm and understand why they are outside the norm, was going to be very important for us to review our theory of change and make sure that the project is on track to have a full impact.
I'm really interested to hear that you used it as part of the refinement process to validate your theory of change. I just wanted to help listeners understand your perspectives a little bit more, in other words, where you're coming from on this. What was your role in the process of using SenseMaker?
I was more of a coordinator of the process. And so I had a bird's eye view of that process. And that includes making decisions in terms of the timing of the study, making decisions regarding support needs, making decisions regarding our team's availability to be able to conduct the studies, as well as convening the different kinds of meetings and trainings required for the success of the study. My overall goal was also the ability to use findings of the study and incorporate those into our learning so that that can positively influence our theory of change and as well as the implementation of the project.
I like your expression saying you had a bird's eye view. So you were sort of seeing all the aspects from it from this higher level. I think that's very interesting, and sort of your perspectives, I think, from that level are going to be most interesting. And also because of your role of chief of party, your emphasis on using the findings is clearly important. I want to push you a little bit about saying what you found useful in terms of learning and insights that you felt SenseMaker generated, that you felt very useful.
Number one, it's different from other tools that we use. SenseMaker comes in as a package. You have the visual component, which allows you to visualize results and make sense of those results in a snapshot. You also have a statistic component to it. And so if you're somebody who likes to crunch numbers and use numbers, you could be satisfied by the use of this particular tool. But I would say that for me, the most interesting aspect of SenseMaker is your ability to identify outliers, people who are not conforming to the norms. That could be in terms of solutions or in terms of challenges. They may be totally out of the norm. And so you ask yourself, why are those people standing out and what is making them to be in that position? And so SenseMaker now gives you the ability to isolate those individuals and look at their individual narratives. For instance, if we talk about shocks in a particular location and somebody stands out to be completely outside in terms of the impact of those shocks on their lives, you do have the ability to go back and look at their personal narratives and also see what have they been doing in the past as a local solution that allow them not to be impacted by that particular shock. And that actually could be what a program should be focusing on and promoting in the area to ensure that the larger population follows the same trend. The other aspect that for me was quite interesting is that we're able to look at three pathways. One of them is a prosperous pathway. We're able to look at the other one, which we call the resilient pathway, and then a vulnerable pathway. And so we could categorize our targeted respondents in those and look at them and see what are the various components of their livelihoods, or what are the key activities they are conducting that allows them to place them on those pathways. And the learning from it too is that how can we promote the package of those activities being conducted by those individuals, be it prosperous pathways or resilient pathways, to ensure that a larger chunk of our population gets in those pathways.
Wow, that's a lot there. I think it'd be worth me just saying a couple of things just to make sure that listeners haven't missed anything you've said. You mentioned about the visual aspect, which we'll come on to in a moment. You talked about the statistical and the textual aspects of that, which is really interesting, all these different aspects of SenseMaker. You emphasize the importance of being able to identify outliers, both positive people, sometimes we call them bright spots, sometimes we call them positive deviants, but it may only be a few people. But SenseMaker really helps us to identify these people, and so that we can focus, as you said, on locally adaptable solutions. The fact that you were able to use SenseMaker to then identify these three possible pathways, the prosperous, resilience, and vulnerable pathways, sounds really interesting and really valuable for targeted adaptive programming. You mentioned as well the whole gender aspect of this work. Can you say a little bit more about your experiences of using SenseMaker as a very visual tool?
One key thing about SenseMaker is that because it's very, very visual, you can also conduct interpretation workshop with local people, and they will be able to understand. It doesn't require a lot of education for people to be able to read and understand the various graphs that are generated from SenseMaker. So you may be looking at responses to food security, and you could see individuals plotted in different quadrants, and that allows you to think about what are the kinds of solutions that they were using and how that brings them into that category. This is really, really valuable information, which actually pushes your team or pushes community members to begin to see if the change that we are observing is going to be negative. And so the question is, who are those people who are using the very good options or solutions with the very positive outcomes in our communities? And how can we learn from those individuals? It summarizes the information for you in terms of numbers and populations that are involved in the different options that you're using, but you're also able to look at the results. You're able to look at the changes that are being produced as a result of the use of those. And I think that generates a lot of insight for team members as well as community members, and that pushes us to basically identify interventions that will bring more impact in the community. So it is very useful for team members in a snapshot to be able to understand what is going on. And also it's very adapted for community people who in most instances are not very educated.
What you're saying makes me think how well suited SenseMaker is to this world in which we are now moving more and more into, which is that of adaptive management, where we're coming up with ideas. It's about looking to see what's happening, using SenseMaker and helping us make decisions that are better targeted to different members of the community. We all know that survey work inevitably involves challenges. What would you say were the main challenges that you faced in using SenseMaker, and how did you address them?
Number one, you need the hardware and the software to be able to conduct this. So, and directly that translates into budget. The second thing is that because it is very detailed, it requires a lot of time for preparation. You need your team to be well prepared. The ability to use the hardware, the understanding of the software, as well as the questions that are being posed. I think that the time constraint is also on the side of your participants. This is going to require a lot of time for them. We chose to have interpretation workshops in the field. And so apart from collecting the data, that required additional time from our participants, which is not easy. And I would say, finally, this information also needs to go out. It needs to be shared with a lot of people. But once all those are done, then the results could be really, really interesting.
I think it's really helpful to listeners who haven't used SenseMaker before to be really cognizant of these issues, budgets, capacity, time, the hardware and the software we need, and so on and so forth. We're coming sadly towards the end of our podcast, but there are just a couple of questions. What advice would you share with other teams who are considering the use of SenseMaker? And if I can put you on the spot a little bit, what would you do differently if you were to do it again?
If we would do this again, and this is an advice to people who intend to use SenseMaker, I would say that you need to ensure that you have enough time to prepare and to execute it. The other thing that I also mentioned is your choice of enumerators should be done properly. You need people who have strong capacity in rural research, so they are able to patiently ask the various questions and write down the narratives appropriately.
This has been a really interesting conversation, but I want to just nudge you a little by asking you, I'm going to say, what three words sum up your view of SenseMaker as an addition to our meal toolkit? And if you can, if there's anything you'd like to say as to why you've chosen those words that you choose.
I would say SenseMaker basically is complexity sensitive, one, and I would say that personal narrative is another word. And finally, I would say it is contextualized information. Complexity sensitive, it means that the information you are collecting takes into consideration how complex the operating environment is, and those are going to come out very clearly. The second thing is that the personal narrative, it is their story. They relive the scene, which is also part of the whole trauma healing process, where people talk about things they've gone through, how that has impacted them and how they have come out strong. And then the final thing is that the contextualized knowledge. So we are able to see that regardless of the fact that the story for a majority of people is gloomy, there are still some bright spots. There are still some individuals that are taking a positive attitude or having positive outcomes and what we can learn from those people. So you do have a very contextualized knowledge of the situation.
James, that's wonderful. Your passion for listening to the people that we're trying to serve really comes through loudly and strongly in what you've just said. It's been a real privilege and delight to have this short conversation with you and learn about your use of SenseMaker.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share our experiences with our audience.